Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We're coming to H-Town. Let's get the work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Tuesday.
I got juice.
To all of you, nice to be with you. Appreciate you getting up with us. We are with you till 10 a.m. this morning. I'm Sean Pendergast. He is Seth Payne, and he has juice this morning, he says.
I was wondering, what if the whole gimme some juice things was like him specifically talking to Juice Scruggs, and we've been misusing it all along? Now we can take it and use it. Like, I don't even know what Shannon Sharpe was saying, oh, yeah, about there when we
that was
that.
During the Johnny Manziel interview. Remember?
Oh, that's right. He was all excited about it.
Johnny's telling some story about how he's, I don't know, snorting blow off a hooker's stomach or something like that. And Shannon Sharpe's like, oh, yeah!
And basically blaming it all on Brian Hoyer.
Right.
I'm joking there, everybody that hasn't seen it. But it was one of the most curious things about the Johnny Manziel documentary was him accepting responsibility for everything except Brian Hoyer being mean to him.
Yep. That was wild, man. That was
wild. Which we're not even sure actually happened.
That was wild. So how you doing this morning, my friend?
I'm freaking good, man.
Yeah?
I'm in that sweet spot after the draft where I've watched enough highlights and lowlights of various prospects, but also, various draft picks, and feeling like every single one of them will probably conservatively be all pro every single year.
That's good. So you're in a place. Yeah. So you're at that end of the spectrum. I feel like most Texan fans are the general consensus I get is they're okay with it. You know, they're okay with it. And I know you're exaggerating, but I don't see anybody who's other than Ocho who just I'm looking here. He must have been texting the fellas last night during Area 45. Great show, guys. I'll eventually learn to tolerate the Texans' dumbass draft decisions, but it'll take some time. So Ocho's a little bit salty about it. I guess the one thing, and I'm using Ocho here, I guess, as a representative of a faction of fans. The one thing that I have seen, and I saw it quite a bit, more so after day two than I did after the entirety of the draft, because that's where all the receivers that everybody wanted went, was in late day one and early day two. And there was a lot of, they didn't go and get a wide receiver for CJ, to which I say, they did. His name is Stephon Diggs, and they used the second round pick they got for moving back into this year's second round.
Rick Spielman, the former GM, now he's on CBSSports.com. The analogy he used was the Texans paid for a really fancy meal in free agency, which would include the trades, Stephon Diggs and Joe Mixon. And this draft ended up being all of the things that kind of complement that really good meal. Mm-hmm. It's the salad, it's the bread. Mm. I guess the wine would have been part of the expensive meal.
Yeah.
But it's the salad, it's the bread, it's the nice personality of your server.
Right.
And I think that makes sense. I think that was very much, and this is what happens when you don't have a first round pick. Now, the one question mark or reservation or just overall question about this draft is, okay, do we grade a move that happened a month before the draft, the Texans trading out of the first round, do we use that to also grade the draft? Because if you do, then I say, all right, man, I think they may have miscalculated how hard it was going to be to trade back up into the first round.
Yes.
This is a year where the back half of the draft was not thought highly of at all, and it got really expensive to trade back up. And we know that the Texans were, I had reservations about using the word trying to get back up in the first round. You know, I thought maybe they were just looking for value. But it sounded from Casario's comments like they were trying to get up there to draft like either a defensive tackle or perhaps a defensive back. So that was the misstep. But if you start your grade on Thursday, yeah, in the picks that they used, I feel good and solid about all these guys. I think most of the objective draft observers have given the Texans anywhere from like an A- to a B, and like I can live with that.
I do look at the Diggs trade as part of the draft. I mean, they used
F.
They used. No, I mean, it enhances the grade. I mean, it's because it was a direct correlation. I mean, you move back from 23 to 42, you get an extra pick, and you use that on Diggs. Like that to me is deploying your draft capital. That's what the draft is about.
Well, in that case, you needed Diggs because you traded away DeAndre Hopkins. So again, F.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
We're taking it all the way back to the DeAndre Hopkins.
We're taking it pre-Casario, yes. Huh?
Yeah.
I do think this too, I want to ask Nick this tomorrow. We're going to have Nick Casario's on with us at 7:30 tomorrow here on Payne and Pendergast. I do wonder if when you get to be a better football team, especially one that of late has gotten a real good reputation for the maneuvers you've made in the draft, and how cagey you've gotten at doing that. And I wonder if, and Nick would probably have a unique perspective on this, having been in the war room for New England all those years and actually like dynasty good football team. Does it get harder to maneuver during the draft when you're a good football team? Are teams more hesitant to do deals with you when you're good? You know?
Belichick status? My old rule of don't trade with Belichick. Just because, Belichick, especially if you're a former protege of Belichick, just don't trade with Belichick.
Yeah, I mean, that's an extreme example, but in general, you know, like, does it become harder to do the deal, especially when there's 7 minutes to think about it during the second round? Do teams just be like, it's Casario? Nope. We're just going to roll and pick.
I think a lot of Casario's moves that, like, probably the best ones are ones of restraint. But he's shown, like, obviously with the Will Anderson trade, that was aggressive. That was a really aggressive move. And he, you know, according to market value, et cetera, he overpaid to get up to Will Anderson. So I think that was one of those classic deals where it made sense for both sides and parties. It made sense for the Texans ultimately because Will Anderson was the defensive rookie of the year.
Yeah.
But, I think it's kind of like Daryl Morey. I think people are very willing. People are willing to trade with him because he's always available for business.
Yeah,
he's always open.
Yeah.
He's not the store that you show up to.
No.
I won't name the big box retailer where I prefer to buy my electronics, where there's routinely 10 people standing outside at 10 a.m.
Yeah.
Waiting to get in. You're like, no. Casario would be there 10 minutes early with a smile on his face. Like, sure.
The even more frustrating one isn't the one that it's open. They open like 10 minutes late. It's the establishment that you're not sure what days they're open and what time. I'm not going to name names, but there's a wine.
Talking about your drug dealer?
No. He's there. He's on call 24/7. There's a wine bar within, I'll say, a 3 mile radius of the building Amy and I live in. Just to overgeneralize, because I don't want to throw them under the bus. But Amy and I like going there. But half the time we pull into the parking lot and it'll be like 3 o'clock on a Saturday. And it's not open. You know, like
it
just
sounds like a front for something else.
No. It's a legitimate business, and there's multiple of them around town. Maybe this one's a front and the other ones are legit, but it's like, I could really use a glass of wine right now. Now, fortunately, there are several other places I've found out that I could get a glass of wine at. So that was good.
Yeah.
Nick is always open for business.
Yeah, there are places in Houston to get a glass
of
wine.
Yeah. Did you happen to see, not to take this on a dark turn, did you see the video, the Tank Dell video?
I did, incident? Yeah.
That was a tough look yesterday.
Everything kind of came out piecemeal, and you learned from the press conference there in Sanford, Florida, which for those of you who don't know, like it's northeast of Orlando. It's not Orlando proper or even like where you consider, like it wasn't like he was out at a nightclub or anything. This was called Cabana Live.
It's a private party.
And it's a private party place. So I don't know what the private party was, but like that's where he was. They've got a pool and everything. And it looked like Tank Dell So there were two people shooting at each other, and it's at one point it looked like Tank Dell was trying to break up a fight.
Yeah,
and ended up getting caught in the crossfire.
Got caught in the crossfire, and it's a disturbing video. It really is. If the person they picked out to be Tank Dell is if they're correct in who it is in the video, it's a tough watch. But here was Ocho. Let's go to Ocho Cinco, Ben. Ocho Cinco and Shannon Sharp on their podcast. Chad Ochocinco has been in touch with Tank Dell. He said he texted him after the incident over the weekend and gave him some advice.
Altercation, but was simply caught in the crossfire. Remember?
Yeah, I shot him.
Bullet ain't got no name on it.
Yeah, I shot him a text message. I shot him a text message too, man. Tell him, you're my prayers, man. You're my prayers. And after that, he responded back and said, everything is good. I'm good. I appreciate you. And I just told him, you got to move a little different, baby. You got to move a little different. I understand it's the off season. You want to enjoy yourself. You want to go out and have fun with your friends and your homeboys, but you got to move differently. You just have to. You have to. And the people that you surround yourself with should understand that you have to move differently. You shouldn't be at places anyway, for one, where they can carry.
Yeah, that's it's a weird situation because, 10 people get shot, but none of them seriously, other than one that was held a little bit longer.
Right.
And I thought maybe at first, because, the initial reports that it was one 16-year-old that shot 10 people. And I'm just wondering, like, does this kid have, like, a 22 or something? Like,
right. Like
how did nobody get seriously injured? It was a 9mm and a 45.
Yeah.
Like, it was, and they were shooting at each other.
At each other, yeah.
So the fact that, I think, like the police chief in Sanford said, they are treating, like, Tank Dell as a victim in this instance, and yet, like, without blaming the victim, and without knowing all the circumstances, just as a general rule, yeah, like, you gotta police the people you hang out with, even, like, as you're going out at night or whatever, and I have no idea exactly what the scenario was, but, yeah, you just have to move differently. Like, you gotta understand that there's always, like, when in a group of people and you're an NFL player, there's always going to be somebody that looks at you as an opportunity, either for whatever reason or gets agitated by your presence. And I have zero idea whether Tank was, I know Tank was, if Tank was trying to break up the fight, like that's awesome that he's got that in him, that he was trying to be a peacekeeper, but you can't put yourself in the position where you have to be the peacekeeper, or at least as much as possible, you have to really be conscious of not putting yourselves in position where there might need to be a peacekeeper.
Yeah, you just got to chop down the percentage of places you can go to, man. I mean, it's a sad fact, you know.
Well, and I'll tell you another thing too. Like, look, dude, you're a star now. Like, you can't be the peacekeeper. You can't be the peacekeeper.
You got to get out.
But like, you got to jet, man. Yep. Like, honestly, yep. Like, if there's one thing you learn maybe some of this is an offshoot too of Tank having gone to not a monstrous university.
Sure.
Where it's kind of new to him to be an actual celebrity.
Yeah.
Like, that's what the people around you, you need to have the people around you who are the ones who take care of business and get you the hell out of there.
That's right.
I had my brother with me the first couple of years, and there are two times that I was in a bar just, like, not super late at night or anything, where were there any issues at all. Like, my brother was like a secret serviceman.
Well, and he can, like, handle just, your brother can handle his business too.
Right, right. Yeah. He was a world-class, wrestler.
Yeah.
At the time, amateur, not pro wrestler.
Right.
So he got me and my friends the hell out of there.
The best.
One time he wasn't perfect though. No. There was one time he got us the hell out of there, and then walked back into the bar and cold cocked somebody.
There you go.
He got many ran got back out of the there. Car. His knuckles were all bloody, and we got out of there. Yeah.
That's great.
So he wasn't perfect. That wasn't the, like, I'm no saint here. I'm not telling Tank that he's a bum or anything.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. Hey, let's go back through the draft class with the Texans. I was thinking yesterday, I like thinking of things in best case and worst case scenarios. What's the best case and worst case for the 2024 rookies for the Texans? That is next.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. Appreciate you,
Sean,
tuning in.
Sean was just bragging during the break about where he lives and how much
That's
he loves it.
That's not true. I was not
you
bragging.
And, can we say who you were talking
sure,
to?
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
Martellus Bennett, the former tight end for several teams, including the Patriots in their Super Bowl. You like the fact that you live in like a little kind of, it's like an enclosed community
in
the
building.
Yeah,
man. Yeah. I know renting as opposed to owning is not the smartest fiscal decision, although at times it can be a smarter fiscal decision.
Yeah. I don't want to go off on a rant or a tangent.
And as soon as I said that, I'm like, Seth's going to go off on a rant right now.
There's plenty of reasons to rent.
But I like the building I live in because it's very easy to live there. You know, like it's everything's right there. It's like living in a hotel. But I was talking to Martellus about it in the lobby a couple days ago. It was funny. The conversation started with, we just got talking about the draft. I was like, hey, man, what round were you drafted in? He's like, the second. I should have been picked in the first, but everybody thought I was going to take my money and move out of the country or something like that. It was pretty funny.
Well, he was, you know, yeah, I mean, he's kind of, I don't know if eccentric is the right word or not, but he's just, he's a free spirit.
Yes.
He's a free spirit.
Yes.
And I remember during the Super Bowl, when the Super Bowl was in New York, Meltzer and I interviewed him, and we ended up blowing through a commercial break because we were having such a good time talking
to him. Super interesting.
But it was funny. We had, one of the things we were talking about was whether or not he should move back to Houston when he's done.
Yeah.
And, you know, he said, yeah, I don't know. I like going to, you know, like an arts scene and having like all these different. So I was telling him, like, go live in the museum district. And there's plenty of stuff to do because they're from out in the suburbs. And I don't know if he'd ever really, you know, as a young man, you don't really necessarily, when he was a teenager, he doesn't know a lot of that stuff. But now as an adult, he can live kind of where you are.
Yeah.
Artsy Sean.
Yeah, right. Me and him
going out to art festivals together.
Art festivals, the museum. He's texting me right now saying, which museum are we going to today?
Yeah.
He's not. He's probably sleeping. No, but he was just saying he likes living in a building like that because when you live in a neighborhood and you're in your house, you're kind of in your own like pod, especially the bigger house you're in, the more detached you are from everybody there.
Especially
these days. Yeah, he's very much around the building, man. Like, you know, Marty. He's Marty in the building. You know, like he's Marty.
Oh, really?
What's up, Marty? Yeah,
Marty.
He introduces himself as Marty. I'm Marty.
Do you guys have a bar in your building?
We don't. We have a really nice ninth floor that has like all these different like areas where you can either cook out or an indoor area. They have like private party rooms and stuff like that. But the building does like once a month have like a happy hour for the residents where the local establishments will come, food and drink establishments will come in and cater it and whatever.
We almost moved into a building where Granato was living, where there was like a full time bartender in the afternoon.
Oh, that sounds like a building Granato would live in for sure.
I just envisioned disaster of like.
Then you have to get in your car.
I don't need
right there.
I don't need like a buddy in place at the bar every day after. I don't need that in my life. It would have been a mess.
They just put a restaurant in the first floor of our building, like a Thai restaurant.
Oh,
yeah.
You know what? I used to live in the
when we, it has a bar in it.
That's trouble sometimes, because can you take the elevator right down into the restaurant?
No, but it's like a 50-foot walk from the... You have to walk out the front door of your building, 50 feet down to the front door of the restaurant. It's very easy, yes.
When we lived in the Rice Lofts, that's when I really kicked my nose tackle ability into high gear, because there's a Chipotle in the
lobby. The Chipotle right there.
Yeah, like you can take the elevator down to get a burrito. I don't care. And anybody, you can say whatever you want about Chipotle... It's right there in the lobby,
right there,
man.
Dude. It's
good
right
luck
there.
To you, it's Mr. Fine, Tex-Mex, the Tex-Mex purist.
Yeah.
It's in the lobby. You can smell it every time you go up and down the elevator.
And it ain't bad. You know what I mean? Like, it's not horrible or anything, right? All right, best case, worst case.
I don't have to feel like I'm in old Guadalupe, okay? I just need some rice and beans in my belly.
Beans, square chunks of meat, and a glop of sour cream.
Yes.
And I'm good. All right, best case, worst case for this rookie class for the Texans. Kamari Lassiter, who is coming in, their first pick, 42nd pick overall, second-round pick. Seth, what is the best case for Kamari Lassiter for his, not career, but just for his rookie season?
For his rookie season. Okay, I'm glad you went there. I was a little nervous when you said best-case scenario because I was going to, you know, I was going to be a jerk about it. So, no, but best case for this year, I think hopefully what you have is, at the very least, you could get a rich man's Lenore, which is the Lenore was the cornerback opposite of the what's his face, the good one in
Trevarius,
San Francisco.
Ward.
So that, you know, Lenore would get some opportunities just because he had such a good cornerback on the other side of him.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that if Lassiter does start this year early on, he's going to be targeted. People are going to test him. That's why the great cornerbacks almost always, to a rule, have way more interceptions in their first few seasons than they do later on because they have the ball skills and everything. But A, teams are going to test them, and B, they're not as good as they eventually will be. So Lassiter, the best case scenario might be if he starts, and even if he's playing well, they're going to target him a lot as long as Derek Stingley's healthy, and he ends up like getting rookie of the year because he has a boatload of interceptions.
I like that.
Even if he's not like actually all that awesome, he's going to get a lot of opportunities.
Yeah.
So like Lenore, the reason I brought up Lenore was because D'Amico had, that was kind of the pep talk he gave to Lenore, was like, listen, don't look at getting targeted as them picking on you. Look at it as opportunities for turnovers.
Yeah, I love that you had that detail. I wrote this up for the Houston Press today, best case, worst case, and all I put was beats out Okuda and Henderson for the starting spot, but I love that you paint a picture as to what that could look like. No, keep doing it. I'm serious. That was really good.
Right, no, yeah. And I do mean that, like, even if he's playing really well, they're going to target him more than Stingley, because Stingley's a known quantity, and they want to try to... They'll try to expose the rookie.
I think the worst case is that he's rotational depth at cornerback, and he's a special teams contributor. Like, I don't think I don't think you and I are going to come in and do the pregame show, and it gets to be 10:30, and the inactive list is out, and Kamari Lassiter's name is going to be inactive every week.
You know? I think the thing that the one big unknown with cornerbacks, the rookie are always, is going to be, okay, how do they deal with not being able to be as handsy as you're allowed to be in college? Because I'm watching him. I went back and I watched him versus South Carolina because I wanted to see versus Xavier Leggett, you know, who went in the first round.
Yeah.
And he did a really good job versus Leggett. But Leggett's a, you know, big physical guy, but he's riding Leggett, you know, down the field. And you can't get away with that. And sometimes he's had a tendency to just, because he's aggressive and he anticipates routes really well. But if he guesses wrong, he just goes ahead and grabs, and yeah, like obviously they police it way tighter in the NFL.
All right, Blake Fisher, and we know that Blake Fisher, maybe the opportunity is not going to be there like it is for Kamari Lassiter to go grab a starting spot. But what do you think the best case is for Blake Fisher his rookie year?
I think realistically, if we leave injury out of it, he's going to be a backup. And the best case scenario is that if Titus Howard or Laremy Tunsil goes down, that he's proven himself enough that they like him better than the veterans who are already there.
Exactly.
The one thing I kept seeing consistently, and I agree with this, is that he's a guy that really might have been better off staying in school one more year.
Yeah.
And I like, just because like with so many of these guys that are tall, lean guys, they're put together really well. They just got to really grow into their bodies a little bit. And there's times where it just doesn't look like he's as strong as he needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it's technique, and that's just a huge unknown. It's a huge projection to to say, oh, a guy will learn how to play with knee bend or learn how to play lower in the NFL. Some guys just can't get it. The thing that I'm optimistic about with him is that in the run game more than in the pass game, he does get low and up underneath guy and drive guys into the dirt at times. So yeah. He's shown an ability to do it. And in pass pro too, he's done that as well. It's just not as consistent right now.
Yeah, if he'd gone back to school, that's an interesting one because you're right. The scouts have said if he went back, he'd be a first-round pick next year. If nothing else, he probably would have been a starting left tackle this year because Joe Alt, you know, left to go to the NFL. You know, they would have moved him from right to left, and then he gets a year's worth of films showing he can play both sides of the line.
And he has. I mean, he did before. He played left tackle before, but it wasn't when he was as good. So you're right. Yeah, you get better film at left tackle.
Yeah. I think the worst case is he's obviously on the roster, and then he might be one of those guys. Like, worst case where you and I get the six inactives and Blake Fisher is inactive. You know, that kind of thing.
Right. And then I guess the other question is, you know, he's got to beat out Charlie Heck and David Sharp and Ladarius Henderson, the late round pick too, will be in competition. You just, as a seventh round pick, especially as an offensive tackle, I wouldn't, you know, I'm not going to hold my breath for him to all of a sudden be competing for a starting job.
I would agree with that. Kalen Bullock, safety USC. What's the best case scenario rookie year for Kalen Bullock?
I mean, best case scenarios, I think he'll have between Jimmy Ward, his age, and the fact that he's gotten injured an awful lot over these last few years. I think Kalen Bullock is going to end up probably getting some reps as a nice deep safety this year.
Yeah.
The best case scenario for him, you know, and like opposite of, you know, if he's rookie of the year or whatever,
right.
I think he could end up with a bunch of interceptions because he does have ball skills.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in a defense, I think, where they're gonna try to limit things over the top, but teams are going to test a rookie if he's back there, kind of like in the vein of Lassiter. Where I'd love to see improvement is if maybe in a full year of, you know, this summer being in an NFL strength program and more than anything just being around, you know, a dietitian all the time and everything, and being in it and actually being like a professional, that he maybe ups his body strength a little bit. Like,
yeah.
I think that's a tough ask 3 months out from the season, but that is a guy that just needs to grow into his frame a little bit.
The X factor in that, the X factor in the Kalen Bullock thing and the safety position as a whole is Jalen Petrie. You know, Jalen Petrie did not have a good year last year. Jalen Petrie got benched in week 16 against the Cleveland Browns late in the season. So that's, I mean, it's going to be tough for him to beat out Jalen Petrie just because Jalen Petrie's got a 2-year jump on him physically, if nothing else, like you just said, Seth. But that's an X factor in this.
I think the thing about that, the other part about Kalen Bullock is that he played on a horrendous defense.
Yes.
You know, so I almost think just by being on what I think is going to be a solid defense this year, that he's got more opportunities than he had before to just do the right thing. I guess when I'm talking about Jimmy Ward getting injured, part of that is that, all right, Jalen Petrie's not, he can play up in the box and do a lot more, be a lot more versatile than Kalen Bullock. So the best case scenario for me is that maybe by using Kalen Bullock for his strengths as being a deep center fielder, and then using Jalen Petrie for his strengths and some of his aptitude, that you can get more out of both of those guys.
Yeah, it's a good.
That Jalen Petrie can be a little bit more of that versatile rover type guy, and you can use him creatively as long as Kalen Bullock's got the back end taken care of.
I like that. Kate Stover, best case, worst case. As I was workshopping this yesterday, I think Kate Stover has the smallest window in between his best case and worst case. Because I think Dalton Schultz is the starting tight end on this football team.
Yeah.
So I think the best case for Cade Stover, as much as Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans and the team loves Cade Stover, in his rookie year, I think the best case is that he's a fixture in like two tight end sets, gets like 25 snaps a game. I think the worst case is that maybe he's a little slow to pick things up. He's the third string tight end, and he gets like 5 to 10 snaps a game. You know, like I don't think he's getting 60 snaps, and I don't think he's inactive on game day. Like, I think he is somewhere between like 10 and 25 snaps every Sunday, barring injury to somebody else.
If we're the first thing I thought of, Sean, which after I looked into it was a horrible first thing to think of, was if we're going to go back in Texans history, 2006, they draft Owen Daniels, who ended up being a pretty good tight end.
He was good.
Yeah, pretty productive tight end. But Mark Bruner had been signed as a free agent a couple years prior. And in my mind, I was thinking, well, you know, Owen Daniels ended up having a really good year, rookie year, a very promising rookie year. He had 352 yards receiving, but he started 12 games that year. So it's 34 receptions, 352
yards. Fourth round pick? That is promising.
Right, right. Yeah. And he was a fourth round pick. Right. So I thought, and for a guy that went on to go to a couple Pro Bowls and be very productive, you know, Owen never got, his career high was 862 yards receiving, but, you know, he had several years where he had five or six touchdowns, very productive in that offense. This is a very similar offense, obviously. So I don't think you, like, just as it was with Owen Daniels, he doesn't have to have a spectacular rookie year if he's got a veteran on the other side of him. But, man, times have changed so much. Mark Bruner was a very well-respected tight end in the NFL who played until the age of 36.
Yeah.
He never had more than 238 receiving yards in a season.
Really?
He was a pure blocking tight end.
He was a people mover.
Yeah, so I remember 2006 where Owen was getting a lot of snaps, and he started over Bruner. And at the time, I was like, man, they're doing Bruner wrong. But Bruner was just phased out of the the league had changed since then. There wasn't a lot of room for he was basically like a sixth offensive lineman in a lot of ways.
Yeah, yeah. Someone's asking Bruner, so you played in the NFL? Yeah, as a tight end. Yeah, I had 2,200 yards, and they're like, in a season? Like, no, 15 years in my career. I had to. I'm spitballing math, obviously.
No. You had 14 year career. He had 18 touchdowns.
that's something about blocking, man.
I have to tell you, he was awesome.
Yeah.
Like before he was my teammate, I used to play against them twice a year.
Right.
With the Steelers.
Yeah.
And with the Steelers, we would go into the Steelers game, and every Steelers game, it was like, you better know and identify where Mark Bruner is before the game, before the play, because there are really strong run tendencies to his side. He would kick the crap out of lesser defensive ends as a tight end, which is the most embarrassing thing in the world. When you have a tight end block you as a defensive end, go die. Like, you deserve you deserve to be kicked out of the
league.
Bruner was that good. Yeah. He would routinely beat the snot out of defensive ends.
Yeah, yeah. That's a lesson, kids. It's not always about the fantasy stats. Sometimes doing the dirty work can keep you around for a long, long time.
Well, and it was a different era. That was the run game was more of a thing.
Hey, man, bell bottoms came back eventually. You know what I mean? Like, maybe Bruner will
actual bell bottoms. Like, baggy pants have come back.
Hey, man, I'm just trying to get Bruner and his kids that like to block a gig.
I will not hand it. Bell bottoms were the most hideous thing that ever happened, and that's why one thing that hasn't come back.
I'll come up with a better example. Vinyl records. Okay. Vinyl records.
Yeah, they did come back.
All right. Headlines. Let's do headlines here. The Astros back in action tonight. Do we get a debut from someone everybody's been waiting for? We will discuss that. The latest on Tank Dell, the latest on the Kelce brothers as well in headlines next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
Astros back in action tonight. They are home. They are back at Minute Maid Park, taking on the Cleveland Guardians. The Astros are 9-19. The Guardians are 19-9. I've not done much in the way of paying attention to the standings around baseball because they're so very depressing right now. If you're a Houstonian, like, hey, we got to work. We got to fix our own house before I can.
It's
go.
It's fun to look at the Cardinals because they're such snobby bastards.
Yeah, other crappy teams. I do like looking at them in the standings, but
makes you feel better about things.
Yeah. Joey Loperfido, Seth. You excited about the possible debut of a Loperfido?
Yes, yes. And all my reservations about whether or not it's too early for him or not, I'm just throwing them in the backseat for now. I'll reach back for that snack if I have to. But right now, I got my eyes on the highway, and Joey Loperfido is sitting right next to me, and it's on to greatness. I just guess like 40 home runs probably.
Yeah. He sounds like a guy you want sitting next to you on a road trip.
That's big.
Yeah.
Because that's one thing McTaggart said, that it wasn't just his play, but that in spring training, like, he showed that he can really, he fits in the clubhouse.
Yeah.
And he seems like a pretty mature kid, even in the way he credited his parents in his statement yesterday. He didn't just say, like, oh, thanks my mom and dad. He just talked about, like, the sacrifice. He talked about the sacrifices they made to put him and his sister, or sisters, I can't remember, in the best situation in life and all that. Like, it's, so A, swell guy,
yep.
But B, capital B, hits home runs.
Hits bombs, yeah, he hits bombs.
C, strikes out a lot.
Strikes out a lot, yeah, that's like a much smaller font that we say that with. I guess the big question will be who goes down or who goes out, you know, like in this whole thing. Greg Kessinger is, if you're just looking to option somebody to Sugarland, that's a logical one. Could this be the DFA for John Singleton?
Right.
I know Jose Abreu, I'll put the name out there, but I don't think I don't think Loperfido is attached to a corresponding Abreu move, but we'll see.
And I know Cavage was brought up because they got an extra roster spot for the Mexico games, but that's another one that, like, Cavage, until they make that move today, like, Cavage could stay up as well.
There
could be a couple. It's not as simple as just like, okay, Cavage is leaving and somebody else.
They haven't officially made the move. They've only, you know, they announced that they're going to do it, but they're waiting. You know, they're kind of biding their time to figure out what the corresponding move is. But Hunter Brown on the hill tonight for the Houston Astros. Tank Dell. Hey, Ben, can you get the county sheriff video on the Tank Dell? Sorry, I meant to put that in headlines. Peek behind the scenes, people. Sean misses things sometimes. Tank Dell, the video surfaced yesterday of the shooting incident. It's kind of obscure security video. It looks like the person who is Tank Dell in the video, who's been reportedly is Tank Dell in the video, was trying to break up the fight and literally caught in the crossfire in between what we now know are two shooters. It was not one shooter shooting 10 times. It was two shooters shooting at each other at a private event in Sanford, Florida. Here was the Seminole County Sheriff Dennis Lemma on the Tank Dell part of the incident over the weekend.
Let me show where Tank Dell, Nathaniel Dell, is obviously a third round 2023 draft pick, 69th overall from the Houston Texans, somebody who was a star athlete in the Daytona Beach area, known to a lot of people there. He is standing literally between the firearm altercation. The video shows that he's walking. His report, because he is a victim in this case, he has been injured as a result of this. His report was that he saw this, or actually he saw what was going on. He took his cell phone out, had the cell phone in his hand, but you can see the position that he's in. He's right in the middle of this firearm altercation. And again, we will continue to work with him as a victim in this particular case.
Real quick, one thing on that description right there that I think I saw some people responding to the video. Tank was not taking his video camera out once the shooting started, like to video something. It made the sheriff's description made it sound like he was taking his video. He's taking his phone out during the incident.
Oh, like he was doing it. No, he was just kind of, I think his phone was in his hand. He's just like holding his hand
up. He looked like he was video, you know, he had like a video. He's taking a selfie or maybe videoing some people at the party or something like that. He had the picture that was being described was just before the incident began. Yeah. They were kind of showing where everybody was standing before the shooting started going off. And man, Tank is right in between the two guys. He's trying to break it up. It is, and there is video. That was a still shot that the sheriff was going through there. But there is video that has surfaced. Choose amongst yourselves if you choose to go find it. It's to me, it was kind of disturbing. I watched it once. That was it.
Yeah, I mean, you watch him go down.
Yeah.
I mean, the place clears out.
Quick.
Fast. Like, it's crazy how, yeah. And but yeah, the really disturbing part is you see him just go down and hit the dirt.
Yeah.
Or hit the deck.
Yep.
Like what, he's running away. There's somebody in front of him who's not as fast as him. Obvious.
I'm gonna guess Tank was the fastest one at the party.
It looked like Altuve trying to, like, if Altuve was batting behind Yordan on the base pass.
Yes.
And so
go. Move.
And he gets it. So it is very, very disturbing. Yep. Except that, luckily, as it, you know, all reports are so far that the injuries are minor, and that the injuries for just about everybody were relatively minor, but not life threatening.
Yeah, there was only one that had to stay behind at the hospital.
Yeah, and that wasn't considered life threatening.
Right,
but
right. Do you think that Sheriff Dennis Lemma is campaigning to announce a Texans pick next year at the draft? Do you like that he gave the round and selection number?
He's the 69th pick overall.
Yeah. Can you imagine if he's like third round, 69th pick overall? Nice.
I want them to do that at my funeral.
Yes. Oh.
Seth Payne, 114th pick overall in 1997.
Fourth round. That was just weird. It was weird.
It was weird. I like the attention to detail.
No, I do too. But that was a snippet of what was about a 4 or 5 minute video, and and it's just, I watched the whole thing, and the whole thing is very serious, right? I mean, it's a serious thing. The whole thing's very serious, and then he gets to the Tank Dell part. He's like third round pick, 69th overall. I'm like, what does that have to do with anything?
I really and honestly, I wish he should have read his rookie stats more so.
Yeah, man, 709 yards.
His rookie stats were more impressive than his draft pick.
Yeah.
His draft status.
709 yards in 12 games, I think, or 11 games. 7 touchdowns, man. Give him some credit, Lemma. Come on, get it in gear. The Kelce brothers are in the news. Travis Kelce signs a 2-year extension to be the highest paid tight end in all of football, so the Chiefs get that bit of business done. Jason Kelce to the booth. Well, actually, to the desk, because he's going to be part of the Monday Night Football countdown show on ESPN. What do you think about that?
You know what? I'm absolutely awful at predicting whether or not people are going to be good on television. I thought Tebow was going to be awful, and I think he's actually been pretty good in the role that they use him in. And the odds would be that Jason Kelce is going to be pretty good, because he's just got a naturally effervescent personality, and he seems like a bright guy.
Yeah, he doesn't seem like he's got a huge ego as well. You know, he seems self-deprecating. Like,
yeah, self-deprecating. You know what? He'll do all the stupid stuff that the producers want him to do. Just like, I feel bad for Gronk sometimes.
Yeah.
Because you can tell the producers are kind of like, hey, he's a big dumb idiot.
Yeah.
Let's do some really stupid, goofy stuff with him. And Gronk, because he's a good dude, is like, yeah, I'll do it. And then all of a sudden there he is wearing like a tutu riding a horse or something, yeah.
RG3, the probable odd man out on the Monday Night Football countdown
show. According
to
Florio, yeah. Yep. But RG3 did welcome Jason Kelce into the fold. Oh, and then...
I don't think RG3 is getting fired from ESPN, just he's getting removed from that gig is what it looks like.
And then the other, the corresponding move for the CBS was they're getting rid of Boomer. on the studio desk, and who else?
Phil Sims. Cower's coming back. Cower.
Are they sure? Are you sure they didn't just accidentally like fire Phil Sims, thinking that it was Boomer Esiason?
I think they fired
him. And then they're like, "Oh crap! Now we got to get rid of Boomer too." Okay,
let's just get rid of both of them so we don't get confused. Okay. But yeah, So I'm glad you brought that up. They're both gone. We can talk more about that in the 7 o'clock hour. But yeah, JJ is back, but only part time, like last year. JJ Watt.
Oh really?
Yep.
Still, JJ's just calling his own shots.
He is right now. Yeah, he is.
Just doing whatever, like, he, you know, whatever's comfortable and suits his lifestyle. Good for him.
Someone wants to give you a posthumous promotion to the third round after you die.
Oh, can I tell a quick story? Ah, it's headlines. Oh, and we're already over. Shuffle your papers.
Okay, yeah.
I'll tell you a story.
Sure, that'd be great.
I'll tell you a story about when Tom Coughlin screwed me out of $100,000 by waiting to... not drafting him when he wanted to draft me.
Okay, save that. We'll do that next. And also the new hobby that Houstonians have after this draft ended this past weekend. Everybody's doing it, but they're all doing it a different way. We'll tell you what it is coming up next.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben and Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.